This episode of Opinions Matter is supported by Shopify.
When we first launched this podcast, it honestly felt like we were being buried under 100 new tasks every single day between building a website and figuring out branding and payments. It can be overwhelming, and we quickly realized that we can't do everything ourselves.
You need a system that actually works for you. And for millions of businesses, that is Shopify. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of brands, from huge household names to small businesses just getting started. And it's built to feel like your own built-in business partner. You can launch a beautiful online store using hundreds of ready-to-go templates, accelerate your content creation with Shopify's AI tools, and easily run email and social campaigns that help you reach customers wherever they're scrolling.
Plus, Shopify gives you world-class expertise across everything from inventory and payments to shipping, returns, and international selling, all in one place. So if you're ready to sell, you're ready for Shopify.
So turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your €1 a month trial and start selling today at shopify.ie. That's shopify.ie, and see what you can accomplish with Shopify by your side.
It's Ireland's most talked about podcast, the only podcast with live callers and live debates. It's Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy.
You're very welcome to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy, recorded live at our studio at the White Sands Hotel in Portmarnock in North County Dublin. Now, before I let you know what we want to talk about on this latest episode of Opinions Matter, we want to give a big shout out to our current show sponsors, Carpet Luxury Bedding and Furniture, because they have the deal of the century. If you're thinking about upgrading your stairs and landing, they've got a fantastic offer right now. A full stairs and landing package for just €500, reduced from €1,099 for up to 16 square yards. So they're not going to do a mansion. But they'll do the average house up to 16 square yards.
Which one of our listeners has a mansion?
Not many, I wouldn't think, but yeah, you never know. Anyway, so it'll include a high-quality canvas back carpet and heavy-duty underlay, everything you need, all in. And they currently have 95 rolls of carpet in stock to choose from, so there's something to suit every style. But once they're gone, as they say. The offer is only available while stocks last.
Now, here's the important stuff. Where do you go to see this stock? Well, you can go to their showrooms, either at Harmestown Road in Raheny or the Upper Main Street in Rush. They have two different showrooms that you can go to. Or if you don't, if showrooms aren't your thing,
you can go to the website.
You can go to the website. Carpet Luxury Bedding and Furniture. Geez, that's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it?
It is.
Could they not have just called it carpet.ie? Would have made much more sense. Carpet Luxury Bedding and Furniture.com. But it is a great deal, as Adrian
really
said.
It really is. So for a limited time, you can transform your stairs and landing for just €500. Get in touch with Carpet Luxury Bedding and Furniture today. And don't forget to tell them Opinions Matter sent you. And our thanks to the lads for continuing to support the Opinions Matter podcast. Now, what do we want to talk about on this latest episode of Opinions Matter? On a recent episode of this podcast, when we were talking about the fuel protests that were being held all over Ireland, we had a caller on this podcast by the name of Lauren. And in a kind of a throwaway sort of comment, Lauren said that these protests are about more than just the fuel. She believes that it was to do with immigration. And she wanted to highlight, she said she would talk to us again, to highlight a case in which she was involved, where she's going to tell us the whole story now in a second, where she believes that our immigration isn't strict enough in terms of allowing people into this country completely unvetted.
Yeah. Now, obviously, when she mentioned it, it wasn't the time or place to talk about it because we had to research the story. And the story is pretty horrific. It really is. And first of all, can I say how brave Lauren is coming on to talk to us, because it's not an easy thing to talk about. And Lauren is her real name. She waived her anonymity during the court case. So she's not, you know, she's not having her voice changed around that. So she's very brave to talk to us. But her story does need to be heard. Now, this story was all over the news at the time. And it is quite shocking how this was allowed to happen. And people, by the way, we were never not going to talk to Lauren, because I believe that's why we're here, to give people a voice. There are people who often accuse us of not doing stories like this. And if it's a story involving, by the way, the culprit in this instance is an immigrant.
And from Romania.
Say, oh, we'd never talk about stuff like that because it doesn't suit our narrative. Sorry, we'll talk about any time a woman is attacked, regardless of the nationality of the perpetrator, we will highlight this. And she has a couple of things that she wants to highlight. Obviously, the fact that this man was led into the country, such a dangerous individual was led into the country, how he was allowed to pose as a taxi driver, yeah, and how safe women actually are in taxis. Because I know my wife, when she goes out on a work night out, everybody she works with, nobody lives in the same direction as her. So invariably, she will get a taxi on her own home. And I often say to her, and by the way, we're not scaremongering here. You know, there are lots of safe taxi drivers out there.
The majority of taxi drivers, I believe, are safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Lauren is joining us on Opinions Matter to tell us her story. This particular individual from Romania was found guilty of carrying out copycat offences 3 years apart against two women whom he falsely imprisoned and sexually abused. He was jailed for 17 and a half years. He appealed that sentence and it was upheld by the Court of Appeal. So he is doing 17 and a half years in prison. Now, Lauren was the second victim of this particular man, and as we said, has chosen to speak publicly, waived her right to anonymity, which was protected during the trial. Lauren, welcome to Opinions Matter.
Thank you for inviting me on. I appreciate it.
No problem at all.
No, thank you, because that's all we're...
Thanks.
I often say that all we're here for is to give people their, give people the right to air their views and talk about stuff that has affected them so deeply. And for someone, as I said, like yourself, to be able to talk so openly about this, fair play to you, honestly.
Thank you very much.
So tell me, if you will, Lauren, this guy's name is Ion Lingwar.
Ion Lingwar.
Lingwar, okay.
Yeah.
And back in 20, he's around 40 now. But tell me how you came into contact with this individual.
So basically, I had been on a night out with my friends and I decided to call it a night. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Sorry, go on, keep going.
No, you're okay. But I decided to head on home early. So I walked, I was in Dublin city centre. So I walked a bit to find a taxi. And I seen one going along the road. So I put my hand out, just to pull him in and everything. He had the sign and he had the stickers on the side, And when I got in, he had the taxi license number and his details. You know, there was no reason to think anything was amiss, what I mean? And obviously there was a bit of a language barrier, but we got on well. Like, we were just talking as you do about general life. And
did he have an ID card on display? And everything seemed perfectly in order.
Everything was normal. But it was just when he had turned, he went past my stop. I thought, with the language barrier, because obviously he was Romanian, that maybe he just misunderstood me or something, which is easy enough. But yeah, he went the wrong way. So then I realized, I said to him, hey, would you mind taking the other turn? And he just ignored me, locked the doors. I had vodka in a water bottle because I'd obviously been out. I wasn't drunk at the time and there was no lid on it, but automatically I picked it up from, the cup holder and just drank it kind of out of nerves stupidly. And he had put, I think it's called GHB in it. And he also put chloroform on some sort of rag and held it to my face and then bounced my face off his dashboard. Jeez. And then that was it for a few hours.
Sorry, just to backtrack so people know, GHB is called gamma hydroxyburetate.
Yeah.
And it's slang name is the club drug. And it's called that because of its connection to date rape, and it's often used for date rape. So that's...
Okay, so so what you remember is being picked up in a car that, to all intents and purposes, was a taxi. He brought you along. You took a mouthful out of your drink, which you believe he'd put something into without you noticing. And that's all you remember then?
And just being knocked out then, that was really it for a few hours. And then I came to then and realised something was seriously wrong. Do you know what I mean? But I then had to, like, he brought me to, like, a pier, and he was on the phone to people saying, I have a girl here. So I tried to take his car because I thought it was better to be arrested, you know, for, like, you know, if I was seen, I can't drive. So if I was seen, clearly not able to drive a car, and I thought if I got arrested for theft, at least I'd be safe, you know. But that didn't work out.
Go on, what did happen?
So when I tried to take his car, obviously I can't drive, so I had no idea what I was doing. And we were at a cliff at the time, like a pier, and I was really scared. And then when he got back in the car, then he just started beating me for quite some time. And for some reason, he ended up driving back from, like, towards where I'm from, which is Crumlin. And I managed to fight him to get out of the car. And when I'd gone to the police station, then covered in blood, they did rape kits, and it came back that he had, like, basically raped me in three different parts. So then the whole story unfolded, and we realised he was wanted in Ireland for another attack, you know.
Which had happened 3 years. Your attack happened in 2019, but another woman had been attacked in 2016, and it was quickly discovered that this was the same person.
Yeah, and there was also, he was wanted in Austria and France previous for, like, other heinous attacks. And when he came to Ireland, they obviously didn't do a background check, so they didn't realise. You know, so he ended up getting the other girl in Ireland and then myself, you know.
And when the connection was made, then he was eventually prosecuted for both attacks, what have been described as copycat offences. The woman 3 years earlier had been attacked in a similar sort of way.
Yeah, very similar. And we looked really alike as well, because I obviously seen her in court. So, yeah. But it's just, like, I just kind of want people, especially young women and girls, to kind of think, no matter their nationality, when you get into someone's car, a taxi, you don't know the person. It doesn't matter where they're from, whether they're Irish or they're not. You know, you don't know these people. And then the other issue I have is, you know, fair enough, let people migrate into the country, but we need to know they're criminal or, you know, any sort of background, just so...
And let me ask you, Lauren, this guy was driving what you believed was a taxi. Was it found out that it was a fake taxi that he was driving, or was he a licensed taxi driver? No.
No, it was fake. He must have bought the sign and the sticker and the license. They don't know where he got it from, but it just shows you that, like, how many more of these drivers are driving around, you know, preying on young women or girls that might be on a night out, for instance, you know what I mean?
And obviously, you said there a few minutes ago, obviously he had, this was planned so well that for you to get into the taxi, you didn't suspect anything, because he had all the stuff done out that you would expect in a normal taxi. That is terrifying. That's really terrifying.
He was lovely as well. Like, he was really nice. We were getting on great when I first got in, you know, just chatting. Like, so it just shows you, like, you know, even when you think you're safe and everything seems okay, you always have to be so careful. And that's why I waive my anonymity, because, you know, it's not, like, obviously, like, vetting people is a big thing for me at the moment. But also, it's, even if the driver is Irish, you don't know whose car you're getting into. Do you know what I mean?
And I mean, again, we have to believe that the vast majority of people driving around in taxis on our streets are properly licensed in legal taxis. You would like to think that a case like this, where the guy is driving around in a fake taxi, is very rare. You would hope.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
That's what you hope.
Well, I don't know. We'll find out by the end of this topic today. And when this person, obviously, and we'll talk about the trial in a few moments and the sentence he got, because people are messaging him. People don't even wait for her to finish the story. Oh, he's probably still walking the streets. He's not walking the streets. He's in jail.
No, he's not.
He even lost his appeal. So.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a second. But had he committed crimes in other countries? He said that he was living in other countries as well. Had he committed serious crimes? Really?
Yeah, he was convicted in France, for example.
But they were trying to find them, like, for crimes in Austria and France, other crimes. And basically, he just fled to Ireland. And, like, nobody knew where he was and nobody knew he was wanted because, you know, like, they never checked his background or, you know, if he had any outstanding, like, I don't know, charges or warrants or anything. So he was free to kind of go around and continue what he was doing when he came to Ireland. And that's, like, kind of my thing. It's not, like, where he's from or anything. It's nothing to do with that. It's just, you know, I think, like, we need to kind of clamp down. And, yeah, anybody can come into the country, but we need to know their backgrounds. Do you know what I mean?
One of the difficulties with this, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I wish people were. We did know who was coming into the country. But one of the main difficulties we have here is he came to Ireland from another European Union country. So we have freedom of travel within the European Union.
He didn't arrive here as an asylum seeker.
No, he's a Romanian national, and Romanian nationals are entitled to move here, just like you're entitled to move to Romania or Spain or whatever. And I know from people that I know work in Spain, for example, Irish people who work in Spain, they were never vetted or didn't have to, all they had to do was show their passport, basically.
See, that's the problem, though, because even, like, it could be even an Irish person going over to a different country to live. I think in every country, no matter what nationality you should be checked, you know.
So what would you like to see happening? Obviously, where it comes to taxis, properly licensed taxis, you would like to think the people driving those taxis have been checked and that we know who they are, we know where they're from. But this guy was cleverer than that. He was driving a fake taxi deliberately, you would imagine. Well, maybe he was making money as well, but he was able to use that fake taxi to lure somebody like you.
Yeah, and that's the scary thing, how easily it can be done, you know, because, like, if you get in a taxi, no matter, like what nationality, if they're Irish, if they're not Irish, you're not going to think in your head, this isn't safe, you know what I mean?
Okay, Lauren, we're going to talk about the court case in a second and what would like to see happening, both with taxi drivers and with regard to people coming into the country. So bear with me for just one second.
It's
the Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A podcast from Ireland with a difference.
Now, I'm talking with Lauren. Lauren, I want to bring you to the court case. Obviously, the penny dropped that this was the same individual that had attacked a different woman 3 years earlier, and a case was taken against him. What was that experience like?
It was kind of a bit of a blur. Now, I had, like, the police that were, like, on my trial were amazing, and I would not have gotten through any of it without them. They were so good. And, like, you know, it was hard because the other girl, I can't mention her name, but, like, she found it really difficult, you know. And, like, I faced him in court because I felt like I needed to do it just to kind of push myself past it. But it was hard because, like, the defendant basically is placed sitting quite close to a victim in a trial. So that was hard. Do you know what I mean? And then having to see your clothes that you were wearing still covered in your blood and, you know, all the evidence kind of played in front of you is just, it's hard. But, like, it was worth it because it meant that at least for a few years, he can't do it to anybody else. Do you know what I mean? So that's kind of the positive I took from it. Do you know what I mean?
Now, he did, very late into the whole proceedings, plead guilty.
Yeah.
And was it guilty to both or guilty to your assault?
Just mine. I don't know why he spared me being cross-examined, but he like admitted everything he did to me. And then the other girl, she was actually in her senses during her attack, whereas I was unconscious. But like he put the other girl through hell, and he just wouldn't admit what he did to her for some reason. And it was a very long trial, you know. Even the jury, like, that were on the jury, they asked me and the other girl if we minded them kind of sitting in after their bit was done, because they were all so shocked, you know, at the actual what happened, like, you know.
So you were spared having to give evidence by his late guilty plea, and he was eventually sentenced back in 2021 to 17 and a half years. He subsequently appealed that conviction, but the appeal was thrown out, and he still has to serve 17 and a half years. So that guy, that man is off our streets. He's locked up and is locked up for the foreseeable future.
I wouldn't even use the word man to describe him. Animal.
Animal. So tell me then, Lauren, why you decided back then to waive your anonymity and to speak publicly. Is it to advise women to be extra careful when getting into a taxi, or is it to talk about immigration policy and people being vetted coming into the country, or is it a bit of both?
And sorry, before you answer that, Lauren, just read the messages that are coming in as you speak to us, and Carl saying open borders, open borders. The fact of the matter is, Carl, what happened to Lauren was not a problem with immigration, because it was an EU citizen. So, Carl, if you're talking about closing the borders, then literally you're talking about closing the borders to everybody. So someone from Spain, someone from...
And
I don't think people think that's true. You know...
No.
But your big thing is how somebody... this guy had a conviction in France. He was convicted in France back in 2011.
One assumes when he arrived at the airport here in Ireland, okay, so whatever way this happened, he arrives in Dublin Airport, and he has an EU passport because he's from Romania. And... surely, because it's happened to all of us, when you arrive back from your holidays in Dublin Airport, they swiped the passport. Are you trying to tell me that when they swiped his passport, nothing came up?
That's obviously what happened, Jim.
Jesus Christ.
That's what I'm worried about, because, you know, it's like he was also wanted for, like, an ongoing investigation, and, you know, he obviously would have been flagged on a system. So I don't get how he managed to actually get into the country without, you know, kind of it been flagged that he was a wanted fugitive, basically, you know. And like the crimes apparently from the other countries were quite similar, so like, you know, it's kind of worrying, you know, because it's not like they're like minor offences.
It is very concerning that somebody can commit and be convicted of a serious offence in a country like France, and then after he finishes his sentence or whatever, he can just toddle over to Ireland, come in through the airport, and get on with his life, basically, without us being in any way aware of it.
Yeah, because, you know, it's just like I've no problem with migration or anything. It's just about, you know, we need to know who is entering our country. Do they have any criminal backgrounds? Are they wanted for any crimes? You know, there's a lot to it. You know, it's not about race at all, you know.
No. You of all people, you've more right to talk about this than anybody else, because you are a victim of a failed system where a dangerous individual was able to come to this country. And by the way, this was something, listening to your story and the way he did this, this was so planned. The fact the fact that he had to go get ID done, get the decals for the car, all that. This wasn't something that he woke up at 7 o'clock that evening and said, tonight I'm gonna kidnap a woman. He had literally planned this out down.
Do we know, Lauren, was he operating as a taxi driver with his illegal taxi?
They think the guards said that they have a feeling that he had been, and they also said that due to the way this was done, they don't think that, you know, myself and the other victim in Ireland were the only victims. They said, you know, there could be girls out there that might remember, you know, if they had, you just don't know, because he, like, obviously was premeditated this, you know, it was like he had a lot of experience, you know what I mean? Like, you know, there was no nerves or anything about it. He just did what he needed to do, you know what I mean?
Okay, so that's one thing. So he could have been operating illegally as a taxi driver for a number of years. There could be other victims, and it does seem a bit strange that copycat cases, yourself and the other girl, 3 years apart, that there was nothing in between. It does seem somewhat unlikely. But then the other thing that you're also highlighting is for women to be extra vigilant getting into any taxi, because especially on especially on their own.
Yeah, because if you think about it, like, you know, you obviously would think a taxi is the safest route home, but you, no matter who the driver is, you are getting into someone's car that you do not know, a stranger, you know, and you're just like, it's, I think safety in numbers would be best. That's why I waive my anonymity, because I really want girls to be so careful, and even traveling groups, you know what I mean? Or even if you had a male with you, you might be a bit safer, you know?
Now, there is
a bit less vulnerable.
There is some security using, for example, one of the apps, because you do see the identity of the driver. You see the reg number of the car. So there is some security in using an app to book a taxi. Would you agree?
Yeah. Like, do you know what? I normally would have used that app, but my phone actually went dead, you know, that night. So that's why I pulled one. But, like, you know, the apps are a lot safer because you can screenshot the details,
of course.
You know,
I don't think a lot of people actually hail taxis anymore, as in stand on the side of the street.
Too dangerous.
Yeah. And how are you keeping and how are you getting on? How did you manage to get on over such a traumatic ordeal?
It's hard. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I'm still getting counselling and stuff, obviously, and I don't really sleep that much either. But, like, you know, I have two amazing kids and they keep me going. I don't even have a minute half the time to even think about it, you know. But I think, like, I just kind of turned the negative thing that happened to me into a positive, that I can possibly help people, you know, or even make people aware and just take precautions. And then that means something good came from it, you know what I mean? So it's not all bad.
All right, and like you said, you've two lovely children, but to add insult to injury, then you went through a period of homelessness as well.
Oh yeah, it was a lot, you know. That's another thing with the country. It's just, you know, it's very hard to get a place to live for your kids, you know what I mean? And a lot of people are struggling, you know, so that's another big thing, you know.
Lauren, as Jeremy said, I admire your bravery in speaking
so
openly about this, and they are two very important things that you need to highlight. And as you said, one of them is don't hail a taxi.
Never.
Book a taxi on an app.
Because you can always have safety. Then, you know, you can send it on to whoever you're traveling to or whatever. Like, and you know, it just gives it a bit more security, you know.
And then the other, obviously, is calling for improved border security so that somebody like this guy getting into this country, even as an EU citizen, if that person has a conviction in another country, it should flag up on the system in Dublin Airport.
Put it this way, Lauren, had he tried to get into the States, he wouldn't have got past the front door. He wouldn't have got past. Did you get onto anybody representing you get onto the Department of Justice or even the DPP to get answers as to how he was let into this? Because that's what I would want to know.
No,
the
DPP, that's what I've always wondered, you know, because I never knew what way to go about it. But it always annoyed me, because it was like, you know, it shouldn't have been able to happen, you know what I mean? Like, it just shouldn't have happened, you know? You wouldn't think it would happen, you know? I used to be so carefree walking around on my own, no matter what time. Didn't bother me, and now I'm always on my, you know, on my guard now,
I can understand why you are. I really can. Stay with me for a minute, Lauren. Our number is 0858252626. If you would like to comment on what you're hearing, let's go to Robbie.
I think it's horror stories like this that would make me fully in favour of digital ID, that could have, you know, live vetting just attached, you know, so when the ID is scanned, the vetting is almost done just in the background, you know, on a live service.
Opinions Matter. Opinions Matter with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon, a daily podcast from Ireland about opinions.
Now, the message from Robbie there a moment ago.
Yeah, Robbie, you were talking about digital ID, which would make sense. But one of the big contradictions about this whole thing is there are people who are so against digital ID. And a lot of our so-called patriots who want to keep Ireland safe and all that, which I never understood that attitude, that to keep Ireland, we all want to keep Ireland safe, by the way. But the patriots, yeah, when they heard about even the possibility, the sniff of a digital ID, no way, they're trying to control us, George Orwell, 1984 and all that. But are they not the same people that want to keep Ireland safe?
They are.
So why are they against digital ID?
That's a very good question. A very good question. Let me go to Sean. You're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Sean?
How are you, lad?
Good, Sean. What did you want to say on what you've been hearing from Lauren?
Ah, terrific. It's terrible for the poor girl and even for the taxi industry. It's absolutely. But I think we had a podcast a couple of months ago about this, lads. This is happening a lot more in this country. With taxi drivers being unvetted. They're coming in numbers. And as I said to you, I'm a taxi man. I went for a Garda vet, and last year it took nearly 11 months for me to be Garda vet. Not one criminal record. I've trained football kids, so I've been Garda vet before. It took over 12 months for me to be Garda vet. And I've known foreign internationals that were only in the country within 6 months, and they got that license handed to them. And the same with the NTA, the government and the NTA, they're giving all these grants to these foreign internationals to get them on the road, to keep them in the country working. But they're not doing background checks. Like, this guy should have never been in this country. But if I say that, I'd be shot down the phone as far right.
We've already said, Sean, just a couple of minutes ago, that somebody who has been convicted of a serious offence in another country
shouldn't be let in the front door.
Shouldn't be let in the front door.
Adrian, this is happening every day in Ireland, and this is why the people are so frustrated and annoyed. It's happening every day. There's people getting away with sick crimes, and then there's someone that doesn't pay their television license gets locked up.
Well, now, in this case, justice was, well, I suppose if you do consider the sentence, justice was served. He was brought to justice.
Any international person in this country commits a crime that's not from this country, straight onto a plane and fucked off.
No, why not?
Because a lot of people want to see that person do their time here in this country.
And I'm sure, and by the way, that would not be for us to decide. I think.
But do that time here, right? Yes. If they do that time in Ireland, who's benefiting it? The taxpayers are paying for them.
Well,
put them on a boat or a plane and fuck them back to where they're from, and don't let them back in.
No, I agree. As soon as his sentence is done, he should be. But let me ask Lauren, because I think you're more entitled to an opinion. Would you have preferred that animal do his sentence in Ireland or just be sent on a plane back to Romania?
Well, I do want them to obviously do a sentence, but I think like an extradition would have been, you know, beneficial. Like, I worry for when he gets released, because I do think that he will come for me because I'm the reason why he got caught for all his crimes. You know what I mean?
Jesus, to hear that is chilling, to hear you saying that you shouldn't have to. You should not have to be worried about that animal coming after you again.
But when he does his time and he gets out, she's fucking dead, right? Because he could find her. Because when someone like that commits a crime and they leave prison, they're not getting deported. They're left wrong in the streets again to commit the crime on someone else. So she's dead right in what she's saying. He should be just deported and never allowed back into this country. But listen, that's not going to happen, because he just go through England down to the north and back into Ireland and be on the social welfare within 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, let me ask you then, Sean. We were talking about taxi drivers, and this guy was posing as a taxi driver. He didn't have a taxi license. He had a fake license. He had a fake plate. He was not a taxi driver. So in other words, he didn't have a license handed to him or anything like you're alleging. He was faking it. Now, that is very, very difficult to prevent.
It's not, because I tell you something. I've been in the taxi game for probably over a year and a half, and I've never been stopped in city centre by the NTA for any checks. The NTA do fuck all. They're just giving out the license to anybody. As I said, it's a disgrace. An Irish person that lives in this country since he's born, pays his taxes, had to wait over 12 months to be Garda vet, where these little scumbags come in and they get handed licenses within 3 to 4 weeks.
Sean, I don't believe that. I don't believe that somebody like you...
Adrian, look at what happened down in Galway a couple of weeks ago. The taxi's gone around Galway. Only for some report that. How long is that happening in Galway?
But you're missing the point that I'm making. There's a difference between a fake taxi and somebody arriving into the country and getting handed a taxi license. There's a complete difference.
Well, he had to have a roof sign on his yoke for him to be a taxi driver.
Oh, sorry, actually, Lauren, did he have an actual roof sign? You know, the one that...
Yeah, did he have a picture
he did,
in his
and
car?
He had the, you know, like the free nail sign sticker thing on the side of the car. He had everything. Yeah. That's why it confused me so much.
That is one thing. Uber is trying to... Uber done this in the UK when they got all their customers on board and all the drivers on board. They're now in the UK where any Tom, Dick and Harry can get in and drive a public service vehicle in the UK. If Uber get their own way in this country, it's going to be the exact same. Any Tom, Dick and Harry will be able to get into a van and claim it as a taxi and drive. And the NTA are doing fuck all about it. It's simple.
Okay,
we have to blame our own government budget here.
But that
the NTA.
That hasn't happened yet. Uber is only operating with licensed taxi
drivers.
Are
you in the taxi game, Jeremy?
Me? No, that was Adrian that said that.
No, Adrian, are you in the taxi game?
No, of course.
Because I can tell you, Uber are doing it. They're bringing in fixed fares, and this is what they want. They're going to do this. It's happening in London, and they fucking destroy the taxi industry.
I know the way Uber operates in countries like the States, but that's not the way they're operating here, at least at this moment. They're only able to use licensed taxi drivers.
You had a nail in the coffin there at this moment, but they're gathering a lot of drivers and all there. It will. They'll have no choice. They will. Sure, look at the CPP brought in the other day saying should be more competition in the taxi industry. But what?
Just stay there for a second because I just want to address this, and she's been invited onto the show. Amanda, will you send her an invite? Linda Doonan has been commented on her Facebook page, and I just want to read out the comments from her. And the first one she says is close the borders. And Linda, I'd love you to come on so we can actually ask you, because people who say this, I want to try and pick your brain and find out what you mean by that. If you mean close the borders completely to every other nationality and we become like North Korea, where literally nobody could, that would mean, Linda, that your auntie living in London who wants to visit you would not be allowed into the country. That would mean that someone from Spain, a student from Spain, wanted to come and study here, not let in. That would literally mean that we would become an island where you cannot get into the country. Now, if that's what you mean, Linda...
And again, I agree with you asking this question because the amount of people who say that, close the borders,
but when you try,
but what does that mean to you?
When you ask them for an intelligent... I'm not saying you're not intelligent, Linda, but perhaps, what do you mean by close the borders? That, and then the second question, she says, all of them are dirty rapists. Now, here's the thing, Linda.
All of who, Linda?
First of all of who? And secondly, even Lauren on the other line, who is a victim of this animal, has said quite clearly here that she doesn't tar everybody with the same brush. And she said, I'm not putting words in your mouth, Lauren, am I? You did say that you can't tar.
Yeah.
So this ridiculous thing where people say all of them, all of who, Linda? Like, it just frustrates me. Really does. What is your answer?
I want to bring in this voice note from Louise.
Hi, lads. How's it going? Louise here. How are you getting on? Amanda just sent me a message or a messenger to come on. Obviously, I can't. I'm heading out to work now. Made a comment about the checks. I can tell you 150% here in Spain, the checks are so thorough. I'm not talking about, you know, people that come in, slip through the net, you know, gangster style or whatever, and they're living down in Marbella or whatever. I'm talking about people that sort of come here to make a life. I mean, that guy was driving a taxi. I mean, seriously, sorry, just before I go on, I'm so sorry what happened to that girl. It's absolutely disgusting. But here, no way. There's no chance. Before I was even granted temporary residence here, I had 3 interviews at the National D station here. Same way with my husband coming. I'm a European national. Same way with my husband, who's an Egyptian national. He had to get criminal record checks and everything from Egypt, you know what I mean, to say that we don't know outstanding charges or anything like that. So I can assure you, it doesn't work just because we're in Europe. Yeah, we can move freely and you can go and you can live in our European state or whatever. But each state is responsible for checking. There's no checks whatsoever in Ireland. But in Spain, it's a completely different story. Everyone is checked here. Everybody. I mean, when we wanted to get a visa for my mother-in-law, who's in her late 60s, you can't imagine the checks that we had to get done for her. It's, you know what I mean? She only coming here to stay 3 months was while I was pregnant. So no, you're completely wrong there, Adrian. It's not the same in every European country. Ireland is a soft touch for everyone. And look, if they did do checks, that wouldn't happen to that girl, probably. Wouldn't have happened to that girl. But he, what I'm listening to, that he had warrants and whatever in France as well. Seriously, like, it's a joke at this stage. It really is a joke. In another 5 years, Ireland is going to be like Rotherham in the UK, I can guarantee it.
Opinions Matter. Opinions Matter with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A daily podcast from Ireland about opinions.
Darren, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Darren?
Good afternoon, Adrian. What's crack?
Good, Darren. What did you want to say on this?
That case is absolutely shocking. But I can guarantee you, if this was 2 or 3 years ago, you would not be talking about it.
Why?
If that man, if that scumbag who raped Lauren went to Spain, trying to get into Spain with all his crimes, do you think he would have got in? Well, he had warrants out for his arrest.
There were no warrants out for his arrest. No. He had a conviction in France. He was under investigation, if I'm not mistaken, Lauren, in Austria, but there were no warrants out for his arrest. Sure.
Okay, so yeah, every country he went to, he committed a crime. But when it comes to this country, there's no questions asked, he's let in, there's no follow-up, and you've called everyone racist and far-right for suggesting this 2 or 3 years ago.
If I'd have known Lauren's story, I'd have spoken to her 2 or 3 years ago.
You don't think we would have interviewed Lauren 3 years ago? What was 3 years ago? What was the difference then?
Well, because 3 years ago, all of you, everyone was, if you mentioned anything about foreigners, you were classed as a racist or a far right.
Jeremy. No, fake news. Here's the thing, Darren, and I saw someone as well commenting. No, hang on a second, hear me out. If you're going to accuse us of something, let me respond. I saw someone on our Facebook page earlier saying, you two fuckwits, that's you and me, Adrian, we're all for open borders, always have been. And I would put that out to you, Darren, and anybody else who is suggesting that. Find me a recording where both myself and Adrian said that we are for all open borders and criminals should be well.
You might not have said them exact words, Jeremy.
Backpedal, Darren. Come on.
I'm not backpedaling.
Well, you are backpedaling.
You have literally said, you've said before, we don't have open borders. And you can't say you have.
Here's the thing, Darren. This particular individual, my understanding is there was no active warrant for his arrest anywhere in the European Union.
Even if there was no active warrant, there should have been a check done to see that he was wanted in Austria for rape. He was wanted, he'd been investigated in France for rape. When it comes to Ireland, he'd be left free.
He was convicted in France.
Convicted rapist that came to this country and there was no questions asked, he was let in and he raped an Irish citizen. Well, because you wanted open borders and let me finish.
Darren, at no point have I ever said open borders,
What does open border mean to you, Darren? What's an open border?
Open borders mean everyone is let in, no questions asked. Open borders. Do we have that? Yes, we have.
No, we don't, because when I came back from Spain on holidays last year...
You're an Irish citizen, Jeremy. You are born here.
Shut up.
People come into the country there's no questions asked.
Shut up for a second. Would you? You're saying there's no questions asked. I, as an Irish citizen with my family, getting off a plane from Barcelona last year. Look, he's after hanging up there because he literally can't take sense. He's saying that people are let into the country, no questions asked. I'm an Irish citizen. I was asked questions.
What were you asked?
I was literally asked when I came up to the gate last summer, coming back. Where are you coming back from? Which are your children? So they didn't just wave. There's this belief that they just wave everybody through. Have you ever seen the queues at immigration when you get off a plane? So this bullshit that Darren comes up with, everybody is welcome. With open arms. Fair enough. Lauren's perpetrator should not have stepped foot inside this. But why did the countries, that he commissioned, why did they not hand over details to the Irish?
My understanding is if there's an active warrant within the European Union for your arrest, it will flag up on the system when you're going into another country, okay? If there's a warrant out for your arrest and they can't find you, it will be shared by Interpol or whatever, okay? But in this case, my understanding is that there was no warrant for his arrest. He was under investigation, but there was no warrant for his arrest. Is that right as you understand it as well, Lauren?
Yeah, as far as I know, but like, see, what happened was when my case kind of started moving, I was the first case of its kind to use Interpol, and basically when we went through the Interpol system, he was flagged as someone who was wanted on the system in Austria and France, and then also the case in Ireland. They were trying to find a perpetrator for the 2017 victim as well, and the three of them kind of came back and they linked my rape kit to other rape kits, and that's how the whole situation, we realised how serious it was, you know.
Okay, and that that was when the penny dropped that this is the same person here. Okay, but you obviously believe he should never have been able to get into this country because he'd been convicted of a serious offence in France, for example.
Yeah. Okay. I just think they could have been a bit more, you know, thorough about these things. And I'm not just talking about Ireland. I mean, even Irish people, if we're going somewhere else or vice versa, like everybody needs to have their... You can't get into Australia if you have, or the States, if you have, like, you know, yourself, if you had on your record that you raped someone or anything, you know, even drugs, anything on your file or whatever, like, you can't get into, like, Australia or the States.
Myself and Adrian knows someone who has a very minor conviction for cannabis possession going back years, and was stopped going on a family holiday by the border control at Dublin Airport for something smaller. No, let's make no mistake, the system failed you. The system failed you. You've a right. And by the way, I can't believe you're not angrier than you should be and deserve to be, because the system absolutely failed you. That person should not have been let into this country, 1,000,000%.
Yeah, it's just like I look at the way the country is now and I realise that, you know, like, it's nothing to do with race, but I'm looking every day and there's more and more people being allowed in and we don't know their background. Like, when I seen what happened to that 10-year-old child in that iPass centre, like, that really got to me. It brought me back and it was like, it was kind of like a kick in the teeth, kind of saying, this is still happening, and now one of our children have gone through what I went through. And like, to be honest, what happened to me absolutely ruined me. I didn't realize how much it affected me till now that I'm doing much better, you know. But like it happened to a child, and that just broke me, you know, because that's another reason why I spoke out, because I just want our kids to be safe as well, you know.
Well, Lauren, like I said, you have our admiration for speaking so openly and raising those two issues. Yeah. One is about people with convictions from other European countries being let into this country, particularly for serious crimes like this guy was done for in France. And also then a little tip off to advise women, particularly if they're on their own, to be careful about what taxi you're getting into, and use one of the apps. Lauren, thanks very much indeed for talking to us.
You're all right. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks very much.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye. There you go.
What a great
lady.
Yeah,
lovely lady. Rachel is not happy with the message we played a couple of minutes ago.
I'm an immigrant. I live in America now. I'm from Drogheda, but I live in America now. Does that make me a dirty rapist as well? Like, you can't tar everybody with the same brush. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You can't do it.
Robbie, you're on Opinions Matter. How are you, Robbie?
How are you doing, guys?
Well, Robbie, what did you want to say on this?
Oh, I mean, as I said in the voice note earlier on about the digital ID, and you pointed out, like, a lot of the, you know, quote-unquote patriots are against it. But it's these type of things. If you had a European-wide digital ID, a lot of this, you know, vetting, you know, it could be done on a live system. I mean, computers are, you know, let's face it, computers are everywhere, and you do anything nowadays. In fact, password is already a form of digital ID, you would agree. I think this would solve a lot of these things. You know, that guy should have never been able to leave France. If he had a conviction for any kind.
As I said, my understanding is, yes, he did have a conviction in France, but it was a spent conviction. It was he had done his sentence, and he was free to go about his business again. He didn't lose his passport.
If he already said the time, well, then, yeah, fair enough. I'm just annoyed with people saying open borders, open borders, open borders. You know, the reason, like, you know, there's some big crime families from Dublin. I won't mention them. You know who they are. Who are now in Spain, and they're in Spain under exactly the same rules as allows this that's come back to come over to Ireland.
Yeah, no, I agree, 100%.
You know, but why aren't people saying that these people should be back in Ireland? I mean, well, sorry, some people do claim it.
I assume you're talking about the Kinahans who lived in Spain and then they lived in Dubai.
I don't know.
We'll mention them. I mean, they do live in Dubai and the Costa del Sol and stuff like that. No, know you will never hear that from them, but you are right. They were able to move to a different country using the same EU travel rules as your man was able to come here. And that's
would I not get it in Spain?
Probably not. No.
Well, then it works everywhere.
Yeah, but a lot of the criminal underworld, they live illegally. They don't apply for residency permits. They just basically live there illegally. But anyway, when you hear people saying this is all because of open borders, that was what Darren was saying a couple of minutes ago. What do you say to that? And by the way, Darren, we didn't cut you off. He seems to think we cut him off.
I don't know who told you to shut up, Darren, because, you know, grow a pair of balls, Darren. Grow a bit of a thick skin. It was either myself or Adrian told you to chill up because you were spreading lies about us. Myself or Adrian. And again, here's my challenge to every single one of you. Find the audio of myself and Adrian saying that we should import criminals into Ireland. Please find that audio. I would love to hear it. But they won't because it doesn't exist. Not one person, no matter how left. Robbie here, who's on the line, will be fairly left. You'd be a bit of a lefty-lovey, Robbie. And even you, being so far left, you're about to fall off the cliff. Even you, I think, would not agree with importing criminals into this country, would you?
Oh, of course not.
No. So but people actually believe that. People believe that people on the left want rapists brought into Ireland. Who in their right mind would want, let's bring in a boat full of rapists? Ridiculous. Like,
stay there for a second. Let me bring in more opinions on this. Martin.
Afternoon, lads. We'll make it on. Well, Darren is dead right there, what he was saying, lads. You know, people can come into this country, no questions asked. And especially from the EU, there has to be certain countries, you know, like a red list and a green list, possibly for EU countries that have to work like that. I know it'll be against all the EU rules and all that shit, but maybe something like that needs to be done. But Darren is right. You wouldn't have spoken about this a few years ago, and you might have said open borders and all this is great, you're all for it and everything. You have said on it before that you don't agree with people coming with their passports and throwing them away. Sorry, without the passports and throwing them away. But you have said on this podcast before, you are for IPAS centres, you are for letting refugees in. So he's right on that one. Cheers, lads.
All right, Martin, thanks very much indeed for your message.
But sorry, Martin, under the ideas that the far right have, you wouldn't be let into this country.
Oh, because he's English.
He's from the UK. Yeah, the UK is not even part of the EU, Martin. So those people who you support and you admire so much, they don't want you here. Under their rules, you would have been turned around at the airport and sent on your merry way. You're a non-EU citizen trying to get into Ireland. Bye-bye. See you later.
Thank you for listening to this latest Opinions Matter podcast with Adrian and Jeremy. If you enjoyed it, please hit subscribe or follow. Click on the little bell icon on Spotify, and that way you'll get a notification each and every time we upload a new episode. I'm Adrian. He's Jeremy. We'll catch you on the next one.